All right, what's going on with this damn email?
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, west. We're west. Ashburn, Virginia.
Way west.
Commanders training camp. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what day it is.
It's Monday.
I know that. I mean, what day of camp is it?
Four, five? I don't know.
Yeah, me
either. I know it was a quick day. I know that.
It was definitely quick. First day in pads today for the boys.
That was an hour and about 15 minutes.
I almost had it an hour 10.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, they're calling them up? But you know what? I was talking with Jason, pass game coordinator defense.
Simmons.
And he was like, he said, man, people don't understand, Cliff never holds. So they're getting the exact same amount of plays because he just constantly goes.
Well, have you even noticed how they do the QB wide receiver warm-ups? Like, a lot of teams in years past, sometimes you'll have all three guys drop back together. Sometimes you just have one dude, and it just goes like one dude, one receiver, and Cliff's got five dudes throwing.
And they got, yeah.
The four actual quarterbacks on the camp roster, and an equipment guy.
Yeah.
And they've got receivers going constantly. So it's like, I mean, there's a reason they led the NFL in up-tempo last year. Like,
they know what they're doing. Like I will tell you about Andy. How Andy has you in practice. They get ready for the game because they do a lot of stuff in a short period of time.
Yeah.
You know, so Andy gets them right, man.
A lot of veterans.
Well, Cliff gets them right, just like Andy does.
Sure. A lot of vets got the day off today. I wouldn't read a lot into that. The biggest story here was yesterday, and it was Terry McLaurin's arrival. He's holding in, not holding out. I think a number of things. I think on some human level, it was a little bit of chicken soup for Terry's soul. Just coming out, seeing the fans, being with his teammates. I do think there's an element of kind of PR, like let this thing unfold a little publicly with how much the fans love him, how much they want to see him. I don't know that they're much closer in contract conversations. Mm-hmm. And from people I've talked to, they're not. You wonder kind of which side will blink first. If the delta is as significant as we think it may be, like if there's a $10 million gap.
If it's a $10 million gap, then that's atrocious. If it's a $10 million gap, that's BS, straight up. Let's be real.
What do you think? Where do you think that you've been extremely chill about it, and Terry is now here, which is something you and I kind of thought might happen. Where do you think this thing is, or has your concern level, any of it, changed at all?
It still hasn't changed. I think what happens, as you watch things get closer, is when things begin to happen. And I think you saw a few things happening yesterday where when they were Terry, who was leading the chant with them?
Jaden.
Yeah. And all those things can begin to work because I believe that the people that are making decisions, they look at all that. I don't think anybody truly has animosity. I don't think Terry has animosity. I don't think they have animosity. I just think that they are trying to do this thing not in just a one-time thing. They're thinking about what has to come behind it.
Totally.
And I think just like a player, we say stuff about agents, but the agent's job is to get your guy as much as he can. And that player understands that this could be my last big one. So I got to at least fight for it. You know, he may have a number he's already willing to settle for, but you fight for a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody does it.
And I think for Adam Peters, he's trying to set the tone of how he's going to run his operation. And I think Buddy Baker, Terry's agent, who has been here, and, Terry walked back out on the field again today. I was really impressed yesterday. I think they made wherever the decision was made, whether it was just Terry on his own, Terry and the agent, maybe Terry talked with coaching staff, whatever, it was very important that he didn't walk out during practice yesterday because that would have distracted the actual football operation.
Yeah,
There's no way it wouldn't have.
Yeah, it would.
And I think they handled that well. I mean, he came out probably like 20 minutes after practice had ended.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that allows him to see the fans, sign a bunch of autographs.
And people want that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And
I just had people telling me what to say. I said, bro, I don't have any control over this stuff.
What you hope and what I think, but certainly what you hope, B, is that it doesn't become like an ego thing. Like, well, I won't budge because you won't budge. Something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know that it will. I don't believe that it will.
I think there's been a lot of good things happening at camp. And I still believe this is a better football team with 17 on it.
I think
we see a lot of things going on. And I think Jaden is on point. But I also know what 17 is capable of. And I'm not knocking people, but I'm saying ain't nobody on the roster like 17.
Totally. And dude, I think, one, you're completely correct. And I think for a few days, the offense has looked kind of stalled, and you wonder what 17 would do. But I will say today, Jaden was...
Oh, he's cooking.
He was... I mean, that's the best I've seen him so far.
The pass he threw yesterday to Jalen Lane.
Yeah.
That ball went over the tip of two defenders.
Three.
By about that much. But to be able to go up and catch it, now he didn't get both feet in.
Right.
But still, to make that catch, he put a toe down and was able to flip it to the heel and drag that thing. He just missed the right foot. Jalen Lane's a bad dude.
That play yesterday, the catch was incredible, but it wouldn't have been six. To me, the throw's even better. Jaden's rolling right on the move, and you talk about a drop in the bucket throw. I mean, that is exactly the only place it could go. You had two defenders right there and a safety in front of them. What was really funny is as they were leaving the field, B, I asked Lattimore and Mikey, I was like, was that a touchdown? They're like, hell nah. And then I saw Jalen. I was like, was that a touchdown? He's like, definitely.
Hey, we know defensive players and offensive players do not think alike. Look, 100%. The offensive players always being pass interference. And the defensive player, I have never touched him.
Right.
While he has his shirt in his damn hands.
Right.
I didn't interfere. And you got a piece of his jersey in your hand. Come on, dog.
I do think there were a bunch of veterans that got the day off today. That's just kind of normal. Von Miller got the day off. Ertz got the day off. Tunsil got the day off. Connerly was in his spot, which was interesting to see. Jaden made a couple of throws, man, that – So we're really not supposed to say much of what they're doing. But Lane had a nice kind of chunk play where I think he lined up on the outside and then ended up kind of just sitting soft in the zone. Ball was a little high. He went up and high-pointed it. Would have been a nice, I don't know, 20, 25-yard gain. Jaden had this throw to Ben Sinnott. Just an absolute bullet. And Sinnott made a nice play after the catch. The throw, though, was just a laser, B.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I wonder if it's pads were on today. You feel that pass rush a little bit more. And, like, the weather's gotten hot, and James is like, all right, today's my day. And just yeah. As much as this Terry McLaurin situation is lingering, like – you still have five.
Yeah.
And I've said it, like, part of the team's comfort level was slow playing this. One, Terry's under contract. And I don't think Terry's the type of dude that's going to hold out in season. So if this goes the wrong way and they don't get a deal done, he's under contract, right?
Yep.
They could tag him, all that stuff. I also think part of what lets the team be a little more comfortable, the offense is not the same without 17, period.
Yep.
But
you get other guys' experience, though.
I think with Jaden and Cliff, you can manufacture some offense. And another guy that's looked really good is Debo, dude.
Yeah.
For all the talk of Debo being overweight.
We know that was stupid talk. You knew what they were
doing. He said it.
They were implementing stuff at that moment. So you can say what you want. It's just that's stupidity. It was fans from San Fran that were pissed that he's no longer there. That happens a lot. You know, so you just move on past that.
I thought Debo just spoke, and I do think he's approaching this.
You just let him take your chair like that?
Yeah.
You didn't try to challenge him? No. Debo is built like a running back, dog. You look at him,
Debo,
all the receivers are sleek.
Yeah.
He is not – that dude is not built like no receiver. He's built like
his
a running back,
shoulders,
dog.
Dude, he is built like a running back. All right, so I'll tell everyone what happened. We have assigned seats in the media room. And a lot of times I'm on air, so I'm not in my chair all that often because Ben Standing sure likes to take it too. But I came into the podium because I really wanted to watch to listen to Debo and just get a chance to hear from him and ask him a couple questions, whatever. And I walk in, and Debo's just in my chair. And
you didn't say, yo, dog, it's my chair. Come on, JP, man, drop a set.
You know what I said? Absolutely nothing.
Hey, Mr. Debo, you can have that chair.
Hey, do you need some water, sir? If it was a player I knew better, I might like kind of bust balls about it. But I don't know Debo that well yet, and
you gotta take a chance and figure it out, dog. You should have said, "Yo, dog, you're in my chair. What's up with that?" And if you walked in here with like an eye that's half closed, I don't know. I was like, "Oh, you said something about your chair."
I think Jeff's here somewhere. I wonder.
Yeah, Jeff sent you a question. Is the practice at 8 or 9? I say he'll be late.
I mean, what time did he send that?
Around 7:02.
7 a.m.
Which means he will not be here at 8.
Right.
Maybe that should have come out like 6.
Yeah, or last
probably
night.
He was just walking in at the time, so you know what I'm saying.
It's been fun because a lot of the radio boys are out here. Toby's been out here. Our guy Bennett was out here yesterday.
I didn't see him. Hell, I didn't see you yesterday.
I didn't see you.
I was
yesterday.
Working, dog.
Yeah, you were working.
They
hard.
Had me working yesterday.
That was Vegas.
I did a thing with Frankie yesterday, which was very, very good.
That's a heck of a mix up.
Nah.
Well, Vaughn and Frankie.
Well, I talked to him about Vaughn a lot. But Frankie is. Oh, no. This is where Frankie killed me at. I said, yo, man, I've been here since 1990. He said, damn. I say, damn, dog. He said, no, I'm just joking. No, I say, no, you're not. He said, you. When we got off air, he said, 1990? Dude, I wasn't born. I know, bastard.
Frankie's just such a good dude. One thing I have noticed is, you know, throughout OTAs and minicamp, we kind of heard about more three linebacker sets and Jordan McGee getting more of a role.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all we've seen so far is Bobby and Frankie.
Yeah, I think I was very, very pleased to see the NFL top 10 linebackers. Bobby was 1 and Frankie was 10.
Yeah.
You know, that says a lot. Now, I asked him, I say, how much have you learned from Bobby? He said, man, I learned so much about, you know, how the game comes easier. You know, we're talking about being young, being old. Like Von Miller still at, what, 30, 35, 36?
Yeah.
I can wake up and brush past him.
I love that line.
Because he understands how to set people up. And I just I'm thinking about Frankie. When Frankie's starting to hit his stride, how about these young guys? You know, that having those two guys as your sounding boards per se.
Sure.
You know, the coach can preach and talk all day. Players probably won't get it because it's just that thing where when your boss is telling you something, like your coach, your boss, you don't just accept it.
Right.
It's a natural thing that we kind of – you know, we avoid that at some point. But when another player that you know, that you were a fan of, you probably watch, is telling you how it's done, and you see this dude's still playing at this level, you immediately just accept what he says, no matter what the hell it is.
Totally. You know, the D-line situation.
Yeah, you ain't bringing nobody else, no readers, Jeff.
Jeff walking in with Italian ice.
Come on, Jeff, you got to go get another one of them.
One-way Joe right there. The D-line situation is really interesting because – I thought Jalen Holmes was good for them late last year. I think Holmes has had a good camp. You think about Armstrong, Farrell are on the team. Obviously, Wise, I think Sheldon Day, Kinlaw, Johnny Newton, Deron Payne. Deron got a day off today. Now, they're able to use the practice squad way more efficiently now. Like, that's some of the best rule changes that COVID implemented. Big Carl Davis has been good for them. Like, that's going to be really interesting when they get to the finish line on what the 53 is on the defensive front. And you could just see.
I'm digging on you. You digging on me.
How much bigger anyway. I'm holding off on better until I see it in person. But
they're bigger.
They're definitely bigger. And I think they'll be better. And I think they will be more suited to what DQ and Joe Witt want to run. Did get a couple little pops today, which was fun. Like, they're in pads. Bill Merritt, not scared to lower the shoulder. Him and Tyler Owens.
Bill Merritt is going to be a bad boy.
He can play.
The thing about him, He has vision out the yin yang. He has great balance. Dude can scoot. You know, I think we were talking about, I don't know what people were saying. This guy, he can run, dog. he's not slow.
Sure.
He might be quicker than he is fast, but I'm telling you, he's not slow.
He looks like he can really play. That running back room has some serious depth. A lot of really fun, interesting things to watch unfold over the next month here. Pretty awesome day yesterday with Santana Moss finding out he's going into the Ring of Fame. I want to ask you about that. Tana's going to join us at 11, I believe, which should be a ton of fun. Ben Stadig just launched his own Substack. He's out here every day stealing my chair. He's going to. If Debo's not in it, then Ben's in it. Somebody's always
in it. I think you could take Ben.
I think I could take Ben.
Yeah.
Too.
At noon, unless he has Debo as his support. So.
At noon, Stadig will join us. Got some player sound. You're going to hear from a couple different guys as the program rolls on. B, I did go to the tennis yesterday. If you're watching on the stream, you can see my dope lid.
I haven't gotten on yet. I don't know what's going on, man.
Well, we'll figure that out in the break. Thank you to our guy, Danny Frank. I think this lid is pretty dope, don't you?
Yeah, that's sweet.
I like it a lot.
I'm going to wear mine when you wear yours. When we play again, I'm going to beat you by 12 strokes.
In tennis? What's your tennis game like?
I think I could beat you.
I haven't played much tennis lately, but when you and I competed in racket sports, is my only victory over you.
Yeah, but you haven't come back. So that means that you're weird. Won't defend your championship.
I will play you. I'll play another game of ping pong, and I'll play you in tennis, and I'll definitely play you in paddle.
Paddle, what is that?
It's some bougie stuff.
I'll play you in racquetball.
I think you'll beat me up.
That's part of the game.
So, but we went to the tennis yesterday, and it was really cool. I wanted my girls to go see the women's final because I got young daughters. I want them to see women playing sports at the highest level, right? And, you know, my little one's a lefty. And when you're a little kid, being a lefty is just a little disorienting at times because most things are, like, righty-driven. And so the woman that won, Layla Fernandez.
Was left-handed?
She's left-handed. So Ainsley thought that was really neat. And, I mean, Layla was good, man. She was really
Ainsley,
good.
You're special, baby. Stick her like that. You're special.
So, at the end of the match, they do the trophy, and then they put these streamers out. Mark Ion gives a nice speech. And I don't think my girls, like, knew anybody's name. Everybody's cheering. And Shelby just stands up and shouts, "Let's go, tennis!" It was so fun, man. Really great event there at Rock Creek Tennis Center. They do a great job with it, man.
They do.
And it was funny. So I've been the last couple of years, and you can kind of party there. They got that tequila tent with a DJ and stuff. But it was cool to go with the family and see it through a different lens.
Kept you from that tequila tent.
It did. Until I got home. But it was a blast, man. So we got plenty to do here. Busy day here in Ashburn. First day with pads. I want to hear B. Mitch's version of telling Santana Moss he was going in the Ring of Fame. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Commanders fans, I know a lot of you all are listening right now. You told me you listen to the show every day, and so you're in your car. So it's B. Mitch here, and I'm ready to take the excitement global. Join me and True Fan Travel this November for the ultimate fan getaway as Washington takes over Spain. Complete with game tickets, all-inclusive tailgate parties, 5 nights at the Western Madrid Cusco, and curated local events across Madrid. Spots are limited, so head to truefantravel.com and lock in your seat. True Fan Travel, they handle everything and you make the memories. Be part of history for the first NFL game in Madrid. That's truefantravel.com. Hope to see you all in Spain.